Welcome to the Interviews Podcast. Welcome, Interisti, to episode 120 of the Interviews Podcast, the official podcast of SempreInter.com. We are here for the post-match reaction of Inter-Empoli, which finished 3-1 to the host. Goals from Lautaro Martinez in the 55th, Denzel Dumfries continuing his hot streak in the 79th minute, Sebastiano Esposito, Inter-owned youth product coming back to haunt us in the 83rd, and then Marcus Thuram in the 89th minute to take his tally to one behind Retegi for the Capocannoniere lead. As always, I am one half of your co-hosting duo, actually one third of your co-hosting duo today, Alessandro Raffa, joined here by Gianni Paterno. Gianni, who are we celebrating with today?
Yeah, today I decided to invite someone who likes to torment me during football season, has made me feel inadequate with my hockey club, you know, just a lot of hurtful things. But we did have to bring on our good buddy Nick Costa to recap this game.
Good evening, and even though I break your balls about the Dolphins and the Islanders, Inter come first, so.
That's all that matters, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Inter comes first, climbing up those standings, currently 3 points behind Napoli with a game in hand to be replayed with Fiorentina from the 17th minute, coming up here soon. So big win today, guys. I know it's, you know, Empoli at home. A lot of people can try to downplay it, but given the results earlier in the weekend, pressure is starting to pile on. Fixtures are coming fast for this team. Injuries, you know, started to work their way into the squad. And after a performance against Bologna that was less than inspiring, today had a big feel as far as what we were expecting for this team from a result standpoint. I would argue not the prettiest performance, but the 3 points is what matters. So to kick it off, cold open question of the week. Give me your difficulty level for a fixture against an Empoli side that's fighting relegation. You know they're gonna park the bus against us at home. You know, Napoli had to play Atalanta away. Totally get that. But how difficult is a fixture against Empoli, you know, considering everything else that that I just spoke about? Gianni.
To me, it was like a 5. And I only say that because it's Serie A. Any team could really make it difficult against you guys, and especially when you know you're going to be the home team, you know they're going to be parking the bus and really just trying to scrap their way to steal a point. But I also know that our quality of players is much better than theirs, so there really is no excuse whether you park the bus or you do park the bus. They could add 14 men. I think we would have gotten a goal, you know, eventually on them. So I gave it a 5. I think it was, you know, just a middle level difficulty. Middle level difficulty. Yeah, there we go.
Middle level difficulty. What about you, Nick?
Probably a 4 or 5. They haven't won a game in over a month. So, like you said, you're facing a desperate team, even desperate for a draw. So, yes, our quality players are better, even Aslani somehow. And you had a desperate team. You had a really crappy second half against Bologna. You don't want that bad momentum to carry into the next game against a desperate Empoli side.
Yeah, I was a little, after the performance in the first half, I was a little worried only from the standpoint of, like, they were hunkering down for 45 minutes. And without Bastoni or Çalhanoğlu building up from the back, we seemed to really lack ideas. And I thought we were in for a long night, but a moment of quality opens up the scoring. Lautaro Martinez with an insane strike from outside the box. Can we officially declare Capitoro as back? Is he on the form that we need him to be in order to keep this title push going? What do you think, Nick?
I think he's on the right track. That's a confident shot, and it's good to see. I don't have the stats in front of me. It's probably my fault, but I know he's got a handful of goals now in the last week and a half. So it's good to see he's at least, I think we could say he's back on track. I don't think he's, you know, just lighting it up like last year, obviously, but he's definitely on the right track. Yes, I think he has awoken from his slumber.
What about you, Johnny?
Yeah, I mean, this is when we needed him to really start turning it up, right? This congested fixture list that we have right now, knowing that we're kind of struggling for goals, you really want your captain and your, you know, the guy who won top goal scorer last season to step up and really turn it on. So to have him getting, you know, these goals now that we actually need him to, I mean, not that we didn't need him before, but it's like, hey, now it's desperate. Like, we really need you to step up. It's good. He definitely seems to be moving with more confidence. It kind of makes you think, was he playing with a knock? Because the speed looks to be back, the reactions, the quick turning in open space and looking to play it off to your teammates. I feel like, you know, he was a lot slower before as opposed to now. So it makes me wonder, hey, maybe he had a little knock that we weren't really, you know, told about. And now he seems to be, you know, playing 100%.
I think that might be on the money, because in his post-match, he did make sure that he mentioned that he feels like he's in good physical shape, as opposed to earlier in the season. So whether that was alluding to a knock or whether that was alluding to just a player who played a lot throughout 2024, and was just carrying a bit of either fatigue or a little bit of out of shape, it's good to see him score a goal like that, which, Nick, you mentioned it was a confident shot. Like, we've seen him do this a few times. I think actually against Bologna last year, he scored a goal very similar to this one. It is 4 in his last 6. He is the guy that's been getting the 90 minutes consistently, whether it's next to Thuram or whether it's next to Taremi, who we'll definitely talk about here in a little bit. But yeah, I guess, you know, the only thing really left for Lautaro to do is to just stay consistent throughout the rest of the season. These long spells of him not scoring typically also coincide with long streaks of him actually putting it in the back of the net. So, yeah, we'll see if he can keep it up. I think the conversation about him on Twitter that I agree with is that it's never really been about his energy or his fight. He's always been fighting. It's just a matter of him not putting it in the back of the net. And we saw today, hell of a strike, and could have had another two. That layoff from Taremi that he put a little too centrally, as opposed to going to the corners, was another opportunity for him to get on the score sheet. So incredibly important that the captain starts to feel good about you know, what he can do in and around the box and putting stuff in the back of the net. So we do love to see it. Another player that we have to talk about, his strike partner, Mehdi Taremi, only about 60 minutes today. I thought it was the right move to start him, given, you know, all the fixture lists. And if you're given all the fixtures, and if you're going to do some rotation, home at Empoli is the opportunity to do so. He's not... there's games where he hasn't scored, where he's been able to make an impact or at least look good. Today was not one of those games. Nick, where are you at with Taremi as far as our third striker? We saw Arnautovic get an assist today. Correa coming back from injury should be available against Lecce. Do you keep rolling out Taremi as your third?
No. Hard no. I feel like Arnautovic, his cameo today showed who should get the start midweek in the Champions League. I mean, I don't want to go too much of a rant. Cut me off when I start going too far, but this was a game against a team that hasn't won in over a month that stink. This was a game for the taking. And I said to Gianmarco earlier in our group chat, he looked slower to than Dzeko. No disrespect to Mr. Dzeko, but he looks slow. He's sloppy with the ball. He does nothing out there. He has, it's like playing a man down with him out there. And I'll leave it at that. I'll zip it over to Gianmarco over there.
Yeah. I mean, I was very disappointed with him. You know, I was driving back from Utah from a little trip, and I had the game on, and just seeing him going to ground easily every chance he had, it was driving me insane. Like, you're not going to get every call. Not everything was actually a foul. It was more so, like, there was one instance where he was on the edge of the box where had he just either dropped it back to Barella or tried to play it inward to Zielinski, who was coming in, who knows what could have happened. Instead, he goes down to ground looking for the foul, complaining about the foul. Of course, your captain Lautaro is going to try to back you up and try to get, you know, in the ref's face about it. But it's like, dude, you're bigger than these guys. Like, mm-hmm. you should be able to stay on your feet. Like, Viti should not be taking you down under any circumstance. And you're going down as if he just shot you with a sniper rifle. It's like, it's frustrating. His, you know, everyone
talked about he did suffer a lot of fouls that weren't called on him today. And just in a little bit of fairness, he did take a lot of blows.
Do you rant it's last not, week? Now no, you're going to come about, to the defense of this guy?
It's not about defense. It's not about like defending. First of all, he's played. It's not like he's looked like this every single time he's been out there. But also, if we're being real, I don't know what game you guys are watching, but I saw him get fouled a lot and it not be called by that referee.
And then I also saw him flop a lot.
I saw him flop maybe once or twice, which you could say that for a bunch
four
of players. I don't know that that's
four times.
Okay. All right, Johnny. Like he was. Hold on. The referee today was calling everything, every attempt on an Empoli player was a foul on them, but our guys were getting crushed out there today and they were not getting called. And I don't even know what the faces are for. Like, what you guys watch the game, right?
I'm laughing.
I don't agree, but go. I think
how do you not agree? But you didn't see Colombo elbowing Augusto in the stomach, not get called. You did Taremi multiple times, just fouled, didn't get called. What are you talking about?
The ref was wildly inconsistent. I mean, Serie A has a bad referee problem. Like last game against Bologna went both ways. The referee was terrible that game.
Augusto made a meal of it. Okay, let's be real. Like, that was not anything. Like, if I went up for someone and they went down like that, I would be in their face laughing at them. The only one that I really recall that I was upset about was when Colombo went into Pavard, and that wasn't called. That one really bothered me because Pavard got absolutely trucked.
Augusto Lauti getting shoved to the ground in the corner, and then 2 minutes later, or whenever it was in the second half, Mkhitaryan, I don't even think steps on Goglicidze's foot, but he throws himself to the ground. There was there was a lot of that where it wasn't called on Inter, but was called on Empoli.
That one specific, I didn't see it, so that might have been when
it was funny, dude. Like, I haven't done that. He got touched, and he did the old scream roll around.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. But anyway, back to the Taremi conversation. I don't know. Coming into the season, I think, Johnny, we had a conversation like, let's compare Taremi, Thuram and Lautaro to, you know, Dzeko, Lukaku and Lauti. And I think we both said like we preferred to have Taremi. So expectations obviously were very high and he's not living up to it. But I think more so, like, I want to understand, are you seeing an issue with a player just not being good enough, like as far as his technique or his skill, or is this a confidence issue or having trouble getting into the rhythm with the team? Because from my standpoint, I've seen him play well this season. Like, even though he hasn't put the ball in the back of the net, there's been moments of quality against Venezia. Like, his hold up play was really good. In the Champions League, I remember him having a good performance. I forget exactly who it was, Leipzig or Salzburg. No, was it Salzburg? I forget. Whoever we beat 4-0 at home.
Salzburg,
yeah. So we've seen him play well, but, you know, performances like today, I just want to know, do you think it's a skill issue? Is this guy not good enough, or is his confidence a little shot?
Go ahead, John.
Could be a combination of both. I mean, I was pretty hyped about him. I did think he was going to be an upgrade.
I did too. Like, hand up, I thought he'd score at least like 15.
Yeah. I mean, I was kind of hoping for the same thing. He's been a massive letdown. I don't see what he was doing at Porto. Like, that's so maybe it is a confidence thing, or maybe it is the situation is too big for him. And that's his level is teams like Porto, where the all eyes aren't really on you. The media isn't really in your face about things, and that you're able to kind of just coast. Because I don't know. It's frustrating to say the least, and I truly wish we had just been able to hang on to Dzeko. And that's another thing that Lukaku screwed us on, really, if you think about it. You know, like, we were waiting on that whole thing. So I think even Jekyll at his current age, I still think that he would offer us more than what we're getting from from Taremi and Arnautovic without a question. And I think, like, you know, like you said, Nick, earlier, I think that he should be, you know, dropped down the pecking order with the way Arnautovic played today. At least for the time being. I'm not saying, you know, it's a permanent thing, but
you know, I think Arnautovic showed he should get the start on Wednesday. I mean, Taremi, he's so loose with it. The ball's bouncing off of him. His hold-up play was terrible today and against Bologna. He's not shooting the ball. He's diving. He's just – he's contributing nothing. And that's – and Lautaro scored despite of him. You know what I mean? So Arnautovic came in, held the ball up, got an assist, you know, chased guys down.
Yeah.
I mean, you can tell the teammates like him.
Yeah, and normally when he turns the ball over, he's out of the play. Like, he gives up. Today, when he got stripped of the ball, he fought back, stole it back, and was able to play it off to
I believe that was
Dumfries or something. But yeah, like, and that's the effort I want to see from him all the time, not just when he feels like it. Like, you know, and that's something that's always been frustrating about Arnautovic, even when he's been at other clubs, is the compete level at times. But
and
you know, I
just
think
one more thing too is it's January 19th. We're midway through the season now. He's gotten plenty of starts in the Champions League.
Yeah.
To me, there's no more excuses about, like, blending in with the team or getting your chances. Like, he's had way more chances than all the other strikers on the bench, and I think he has squandered the number three spot for now.
I completely agree with that. I think if you look at the number three, I don't know that any Inter fan can say with confidence that any one of the three, Correa, Arnautovic, and Taremi, really deserves to have that. And that's problematic. I think it's also problematic because if you think about the January transfer window and where can you make this team better, you have five strikers on the team. No one's coming in to save you unless one of those guys is leaving. And I don't know who's bidding for any of, you know, Taremi obviously is going to be on the team, but Correa and Arnautovic, there's been reports of, you know, Roma, Torino, Bologna for Arnautovic, but I don't know that anyone's going to come in and take those two players off our hands. So it really does feel like those are the three guys that one of them needs to try to solidify that third striker role. And after Taremi's performance today, I mean, he's probably played the least, but Correa in the small minutes that we've seen him has been pretty decent. And I think I'd like to see that combo a little bit more. After the group stage, we can register him in the Champions League.
Good.
Do you do that?
Against Empoli, for God's sake. He should have killed them.
Taremi's not getting unregistered for the Champions League list, so it would be between Arnautovic or Correa. Who do you register?
Oof.
I know.
I need a bigger sample size of Correa to meet. Yeah. So yeah, I would stick with Arnautovic.
Because Correa might be hurt, and then he's
that's
what it's about.
Yeah, that's what it is. I think you have to go Arnautovic because of the injuries for Correa, but Arnautovic hasn't been super healthy these last two seasons either. So we'll see how it plays out. And I don't want this to be a negative pod, but the next big topic that we need to talk about is our boy Zielinski. Disappointing against Bologna.
The next big topic. I thought you were going with somebody else, but it's okay.
Let's get this out of the way, and we'll talk about everybody else. Zielinski, opportunity against Bologna and Empoli. I think a lot of people would say squandered. He's playing with Barella, you know, so it's not like he's completely helpless out there. Aslani. Obviously not everyone is super excited about him, including myself. Had a good game today, but we'll get to him in a second. When Mkhitaryan came on, the team looked much, much better today. And I think that's a little bit of an indictment on Zielinski. What's your sentiment for our Polish player that we were super excited about when he signed for the team this last summer?
Yeah, no, I'd have to agree. I think it's been a bit of a disappointing start to things, for sure. He's had moments where he's looked good. He's had moments where, you know, the vision and you could see the passing range and everything, and it gets you excited, and you're like, man, like, this is what I was hoping to see, more so than what I've been seeing from Mkhitaryan. But not the best performance at all. I mean, he did have a ball over the top. I forget to who. It might have been to DiMarco, maybe, on the wing, that I actually liked. I thought it was a well-played pass. But you can't just have one moment or one instance where, you know, everything looks good or you seem to be on point. It should be, you know, a consistent thing from start to finish. And it just feels like it's, I don't know. I feel like this was a problem with him at Napoli. And I feel like when he's not consistently the starter, he's a little bit frustrated. And even though he may not project it, you know, within the locker room, or he may not say things, you know, to the media, I think he internalizes it, and then thus it affects his game. So it could be something like that. You know, it's unfortunate. You want, I feel like when you have that opportunity, you should try to make the most of it and not just, you know, be focused on the negative. But yeah, hopefully he picks it back up, because, you know, it seems like the two guys that we were most excited about from this summer window have both been somewhat disappointing.
Yeah, he has to step up. Maybe playing with Aslani hampers him a little bit, but it doesn't really excuse some of the needless giveaways he's had. And yeah, like the Bologna game, he had a shocking first half hour. Then he had that beautiful ball, like you said, the hockey assist to set up the go-ahead goal for Lautaro. But even today, I didn't think, like, wow, like, good signing. He's really helping out. Like, I would hope, like, just... I just want him and Barella to take over the midfield and leave Aslani out of it. Like, just ignore him, essentially. But maybe he's, part of it is struggling playing with a regista that can't play the position, but he's got to clean up his passing. And yeah, you would hope too, because I can't stand Mkhitaryan, and I think he's a turnover machine as well. You know, I think he only gets a lot of playing time because he does have really good stamina, but you would hope, again, new guy, take it. And he quite hasn't.
Yeah, he had the least amount of touches today amongst Inter's midfield, which isn't great. They also, it's not like they were completely closing him down and he was man-marked all game. Like, he had space, but I did see a player that was, like, not really as assertive as he should be, or a player that might not be as confident as we need him to be, which seems to be something that's affected a few players at Inter that are trying to work their way into this team. So we'll see how things shake out with Zielinski. But I think if we're trying to put together a best 11 for a cup final, I don't know that you can throw Zielinski in there right now, which earlier in the season I would have felt confident in saying that. Let's go to an early Q&A question. This one is from our biggest fan at Huyan81. Johnny, this is for you, because someone did comment at me specifically to make sure we get you to talk about this guy. Is Dumfries the best in form right back, right wing back in Europe right now? Three questions.
As much as it pains me to admit this, yes. And this is kind of what I'm sure all Interisti were hoping we would get when we did sign him to replace Hakimi. Not that we were expecting it to be Hakimi. I don't think anyone expected him to be Hakimi. But I think we were hoping somebody to be able to perform and be able to, you know, deliver crosses in, to be able to score, you know, timely goals and stuff like that, and provide a little grinta on the wing. And finally, like, he's doing it consistently now, which is the best thing. You know, you would have a game here and then it would be a bad stretch of games, or you would have a game there and then another bad stretch of games. Now it's like the last, I don't know, month and a half, really. He has been arguably the best player overall for the team. You know, you could put Bastoni and DiMarco in those conversations as well, but Dumfries has been awesome. And I'm not going to, you know, I think I tried to be objective. Yeah.
It almost seems like that contract renewal stepped his game up, which is not something that you see all the time. When you finally get your bag, a lot of players drop off, and to see what Denzel has done since he signed the contract, it does make you feel like maybe that was a little bit on his mind earlier in the season. But man, as far as like best, most in-form right wing back, I don't know anyone else that's playing at his level right now. at least as far as just the game-by-game contributions. And he also seems super confident.
Playing with confidence is everything.
It's been a joy to watch him playing this way. I mean, the goal he scored today, that was – he got up for that thing. That was nice to see. You know, I joked – what was it? A couple episodes ago where I was like, hey, maybe actually it was after the Atalanta Supercopa game that maybe I would want to add him to the collection in my cards. Well, I did do that. So his card is finally on the way here. But Denzel's been great. And like I said, I tweeted out today, he is no longer my most hated player on this squad. It was time to elevate him and get him out of the basement there. That is firmly belonging to somebody else.
Okay. So that's a good segue into that conversation. What a fucking pro. All right. For Denzel, 3 goals in his last 5, by the way. There's some back and forth that I just don't understand on their Twitter about Aslani. A lot of people screenshotting his like sofa score rating for today and his FOTMOB rating for today. And he played well. He played well today. He also, it wasn't perfect. I think he misplaced like 10 passes. I saw a lot of him like overrunning his tackles and his positioning, which I thought was just like at this point in his development, I didn't know what he was doing. But he seemed a little tidy, a little bit better of a performance today. For me, does not change what I think about his level or whether I think he should be part of this team in the future. But Nick, I'll kick it over to you. Where do you stand on Aslani? Because Johnny and I have talked about this extensively. Today's game does not change my mind. We support him as long as he's an Inter player. But where are you at with him?
Again, I've said this twice now. This is an Empoli team that hasn't won a game in over a month. I think it's five straight losses or 4 losses and a draw in their last 5. They're terrible. And he still showed his deficiencies. He can't play the position. Like you said, misplaced passes. Sometimes I feel like he's too static in the buildup. He looks lost in defensive coverage. He can't help protect the back line. I think he has shown that Çalhanoğlu is the most important player on the team. Because look how much the play just drops off from the entire team with him as your regista. From the second half of the Bologna game where the game totally got away from Inter, just like the Supercopa final. Once Aslani came in, the game was out of control for Inter. So since the Supercopa, he has clearly shown he is not Inter level. He's bottom of the table levels. And I really hope Çalhanoğlu comes back soon because I feel like Aslani makes everyone around him worse. That performance against Bologna was probably the worst performance I've seen from an Inter midfielder since Gagliardini against Parma in the Coppa when Parma was in Serie B and Gagliardini couldn't even compete with those guys. So I think it's one of the worst midfielders I've ever seen in at least recent memory. And it's not like if this was like the Spalletti years, where we're like building towards something, it's like, oh, let him develop. Well, we're past that now. We're at win now. And for someone that's been here for 3 years, that there's no time for like, oh, let him develop. Let him develop. Look, he did good against a team that hasn't won in 6 weeks. Like, no, it's win now. We need you to make passes, protect the back line. He doesn't do anything right. Yeah, he had a nice service on the corner that Dumfries scored, but overall, he fucking sucks, man.
Oof.
I mean, yeah, of course, a lot of people came at me for, you know, saying that I'm over him.
Were they all Albanians?
Some of them were. Let's be real. Some of them were Albanians.
Take my wife and kid, like in Taken, and I'm gonna be like, and go to Albania and track them all down.
And kid are safe. I'm the one who might be in danger here. But yeah, like, I don't know. It wasn't a good performance. Oh. I don't care what FUTMOB says. I don't care what SofaScore says. You know, he doesn't pass the eye test. If that's an 8.4 performance,
What?
Like, then I am the greatest midfielder in the history of the world. Then, if that was an 8.4, because that doesn't make, it doesn't make sense. Like, because of one assist, is that why we're getting like a bump up like that high? Like, I've seen, heck, I've even seen Dumfries have games where he's had two assists and not be above an 8, and I was okay with that because you know that it wasn't that great of a performance. So I don't know what Aslani did that was so special. I don't know what Aslani, like, everyone's like, oh, look how great he is. Oh, you're wrong. Oh, he's all that. Blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I don't know what you guys are watching. Maybe I'm, I don't know. Maybe I'm just that upset about him that now everything bothers me. Very well could be. But you can't tell me that that was an 8.4 performance and you feel good about it. And you think that, yep, I feel confident with Christian Aslani moving forward because I don't.
Yeah, I think there's a fine line between you're, you know, supporting Inter players and you want them to do well, which I think everyone here, if Aslani is going to be on the pitch, you want him to do well for a number of reasons. It's better for your team. It's better to recoup the value. What you don't want to happen is you don't want to get fooled into thinking that he's not what he's been so far in his entire Inter career, which is a player that's not up to the level. So, you know, I'm not going to hate on anyone supporting him after this game. You know, even Massimiliano Faris, the caretaker coach for Inter today, because Inzaghi was suspended, he made sure to call out Aslani in the post game, which is good for his confidence. He's got to do what he's got to do. But it doesn't change where I'm at with him as far as his future at Inter. And I don't think that anyone who wants the best for Inter should be coming off that track. Let's talk about some of the really good that happened today. That back line. Augusto, defensively, super solid, filling in for Bastoni at the Braccetto on the left. Pavard, back in the team, 84 minutes today, I think. And a decent performance, like nothing super special, but you just wanted to get his legs under him. And then De Vrij was great. He got turned a little bit on the Esposito goal, but outside of that, you know, he was pretty good. Anyone want to shout out some of the good that we saw from the back line today?
Yeah, Nick,
I'll kick it over to you.
Oh, me? Okay.
Oh, go ahead.
I did on the Esposito goal. I thought, like, even when the ball came to his feet, I'm like, whoa, he's wide fucking open. And he caught De Vrij flat footed, and that's why it was so easy to go by him and put that far post. But yeah, De Vrij, he's been, I think, obviously the best, one of the better central defenders in all of Italy, if not all of Europe, this season. Yeah, Pavard again, good performance. And Augusto, when he reminds me of like Darmian, where it's like, you want him to play wing back? He'll do it. You want him to play center back or left center back? He'll do it. Like, I've got no problems with Augusto and his new hair. Looks good.
It
looks like he paid top dollar for it, so he got what he paid for. But yeah, I'd like to see Pavard play again on Wednesday against a not a quality European opponent and get more confidence.
For the back line, I probably would want to give, yeah, I mean, I guess I'm going to go with De Vrij as well. You know, Stefan looks like he's back to, you know, top defender in Serie A levels again, and which is amazing. We thought that there was going to, you know, we've been waiting for the fall off, and with Acerbi injured, I mean, I think he's definitely rose to the occasion. And like, this is what you wanted to see with Aslani, right? You are given an opportunity to fill in for an injured player, and you grab it by the scruff of the neck and you run with it. We haven't seen that with Christian, unfortunately, but Stefan is a world-class defender, and he's able to rise to the occasion, which has been awesome. So I'm very happy with his performance. And even though he did get turned on the you know, Esposito goal, it was also bouncing around in there. So like, I can't get too mad about him. And you know, it was an unfortunate way things got. And of course, it, you know, landed at the guy who is on loan. Also, can we give him a little shout out though to Sebastiano for not celebrating?
Yes.
You know, I think that's class right there, and I think that shows, you know, a level of maturity that I was worried that he wouldn't be able to achieve. You know, I felt like there was a lot of times, and you would hear from his time at Sampdoria, that there was a bit of a immaturity
attitude
with that. Yeah, so it's nice that he's grown, and whether we sell him to Empoli or we bring him back and then, you know, sell him after or loan him again, whatever it is. You know, I hope that him and even his brother Pio can turn out to be pretty solid players themselves.
I read there's an obligation for them to buy, no?
Yeah, so it's not an obligation, but they do have the option to buy for okay. five. And again, like we don't know everything about these deals. It's only what they're able to, what they are reporting. But Empoli has a purchase option for okay. $5 million that they can exercise. And Inter does have a resale clause. So people are, I think this is good to touch on too, people are asking about bringing him back to the club. I always get a little bit nervous to jump on this ship of like, you know, the academy players are doing well elsewhere. Like, let's bring them right into a team for a couple of reasons. One, it's like those players are playing at clubs with way different objectives than what Inter is going for. It's a completely different level. So I don't think it's a slam dunk to bring any of these guys back. I definitely do want to hold on to Pio for as long as possible here. But the second reason is really development. It's like, sure, you can bring them back, but they're not going to be starting these games. So how much really is their development going to be hurt by being the third or fourth or fifth striker at Inter? If you guys had the opportunity to bring back Esposito, let's say, you know, let's call it Sebastiano, anywhere within the $7 to $10 million range, would you do that?
I would say only if we have a deal lined up to sell him for a bigger profit. But like to bring him back to loan him out again, it just doesn't make sense. It would be kind of foolish in some ways. You know, I think that it would be nice to have a player at disposal who, you know, at our disposal, who, you know what, he's got 8 goals at Empoli. 8 goals at Empoli.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, he's got more than Correa, Arnautovic, and Taremi combined, and yeah. It's at Empoli.
He's like beating off scrubs.
Yeah, like...
He's silky smooth, too, with the ball at his feet, like, like, very polished player.
It wouldn't be the worst thing, but I just still think he might not be ready just yet. Like, I would want to loan him in a if we do loan him in a perfect world to like a Bologna, a Fiorentina, something of that level to really allow him to season a little bit more, you know, play with a little better talent around him and see what he can do. You know, now it also depends on what we do next summer as well. You know, is Arnautovic is not coming back.
No.
I think Correa is not coming back.
No.
So that might be something where you have to bring him in because he's probably the most ready, quote unquote, striker that, you know, right now to be able to bring in. So.
Yeah, I would love to relegate Taremi to the fourth with this kind of form. So,
Yeah.
He's a very interesting player. He's got a lot of talent.
No doubt.
Who knows? He may get called up to the Italy national team, and you never know how the rest of the season is going to play out. That $5 million could end up looking like a bargain. So, we'll see how it shakes out. I want to touch on Barella. I want to read off his minutes since the start of this calendar year. 81 minutes against Atalanta in the Supercoppa, 84 against Milan in the final, 83 against Venezia, 90 against Bologna, 90 against Empoli. Inter's next three fixtures are Sparta Prague away, Lecce away, and Monaco at home before the Milan derby. I think it's time to get him a little bit of rest before the derby with all these fixtures, as important as they are to win, and as it's very clear he's our best midfielder. I think he has to sit down for a little bit because in both of this game and against Bologna, you did see signs of fatigue. What would you do with Barella for these next three games, which the opponents don't on paper seem like, you know, they're the toughest opponents?
I would hope they beat Sparta on Wednesday, which makes the Monaco game irrelevant. That means they've qualified automatically for the knockout stages. Don't play him. If they win against Sparta, you don't play him against Monaco. You also hope they can go down to Lecce or wherever and get out to an early lead, boat race him, pull him out in the 60th minute, and call it a day and have a fresh Barella against Milan, because we've all seen it, as class as he is, he's probably one of the best midfielders in the world right now, over the last couple of years. When he gets tired, his form dips. And we can't have that against Milan, because I think Milan is clearly pissed off that we won the Scudetto in their faces, because the only two games they've played good this year are against us. I say us like I'm on the fucking team. But Milan's best two games have been against Inter this year, and they're going to get the same effort again in a couple of weeks. So I would start on Wednesday, because a midfield of Zielinski or Mkhitaryan, Aslani and Fratesi doesn't excite anybody against any competition. So I hope they can get out to a nice big lead against Sparta, but they've had some pretty sloppy games in the Champions League against Young Boys, right? So
yeah,
my hope is against these inferior opponents, get them out around the 60, 65th minute, get a good lead, and then hopefully if they win Wednesday, you don't even have to play him against Monaco, and he gets a full week rest.
Johnny, is that what you would do too?
Yeah. No, 100%. I mean, as difficult as it is to sit him right now, really, with Hakan being out, you could see the fatigue starting to weigh on him. So it's like way more important to preserve him for a match like the Derby. Hopefully we take care of business, you know, on Wednesday, because that would be massive, right? If we're able to go up maybe 2-3 nil by halftime, and then maybe you can just pull him off if that's the route you go. And then you're able to, you know, preserve him. I wouldn't even play him the weekend if you could avoid it, to be quite honest. But if you have to bring it on, maybe as a second half substitute, you know, like break glass in case of emergency type thing. Because, like, we do kind of have to see what we have with Fratesi.
I think we have to. I was just going to say, yeah, it's like from a mental standpoint, is this guy able to contribute to us?
Exactly. And it's like, we've seen him contribute as a super sub. Haven't really seen it from minute one. Even when he has had starts, I feel like he's had very mediocre performances. So it's like, if you can, you know, maybe give him 60, 65 minutes, or if you're up, then you don't even have to worry about, you know, because he should have plenty of stamina in his legs, given the lack of minutes he's been getting lately. If you're able to do that and give him another rest, and then even rest him, you know, the Monaco game, like we said, now you've given him, I mean, Barella, that is, plenty of rest where he's able to feel rejuvenated and recharged, and hopefully be able to, you know, get back to being the best midfielder in Europe, which would be huge for us, given, you know, that we're missing Hakan.
Yeah, I think anytime you see a player that has picked up an injury in the midst of a heavily rumored move away from the club, I think it's fair to speculate on that injury and whether or not it's real, but apparently, you know, wasn't able to play today because of that injury, some muscle fatigue, which is a very convenient thing to say.
It's a bepehedisoitis. It's very serious this time of the season. So,
and we don't know whether it's curable. That's the other thing. And I think both parties, Fratesi and Inter, everyone's on the same page of like, we'll get you out of here as soon as we can, right? Like, no problem. We'll move on from you. You want to move on from us. Not an issue for either club or player. What the issue is like, we're not going to, in the middle of a Scudetto race, in the middle of like competing for the Champions League, we're not just going to ship you out of here for anyone's price. Like, if they're going to pay, they'll pay. It looks like Sucic is lined up, although they do say that he'll come in June. I think if Fratesi's out of here, bring him here immediately. Like, I think you're upgrading the team, honestly.
No, there's no thinking. You are. It's a fact. You're upgrading the team from Sucic to going from Fratesi to Sucic. Not even a question.
Yeah, and he's a really, really talented player. We should talk about him more, but yeah, the only scenario he comes into the team is if Fratesi leaves. So it's good on the management to get ahead of that transfer for now, and we'll see how things play out. I think with Fratesi, like, just give us the next 6 months, man. Like, that's, we're not asking you to do much here, right? You are a super sub. Like, it is what it is. You don't have to play week in and week out. Like, just give us everything you have for the short period of time. Knock on wood. Hopefully you don't have to play week in and week out and everyone's healthy. But yeah, just give us what you have for the rest of the season. All right. Anything else about this game you guys want to get into before we start getting into the Q&A here?
I really liked Lautaro's goal. That first half was boring, and it really opened the game up. And it kind of, I know I took a deep breath. Like, it's like, okay, the game opened up, and Inter started playing again. That's what you want out of your captain. That's hell of a shot. He did that a lot last year. A lot of distance shots, not just goals from the 6 yard in. So it's good to see him take a game over like that, blast one home, a golazo. So,
yeah. And one that he hasn't scored in a while. It's like he's been missing the sitters, but he hasn't had a banger in a while. And that was a certified banger.
Unlike Taremi, who keeps missing sitters like the Bologna game because he fucking blows.
He needs a banger too. He needs a banger too.
He needs something. All right.
Johnny, anything about the game before we get into the questions?
No, nothing. We pretty much covered everything I wanted to talk about.
All right.
Aslani still sucks. That's all I'll say.
45 minutes in. Let's get on these Q&A here. All right. So at a person 1352, thoughts on all the young players we already seem to be investing in for the new U23 team. In my opinion, it seems that management doesn't want to have a situation like Juve or Milan where their U23 teams struggle. I love it. I mean, if you have talented players at the club that you can slot in to the first team, if there's injury or a dip in form, whatever it might be, it means that you don't have to dip into the market and keep buying. So I'm all good with that. I like the names that they've been bringing in, like watching a little bit more of Thomas Perez. I'm excited about him. Sucic is going to be a first teamer, so we're you know, it's not really a Primavera player, but some of the other names, like, they all seem interesting.
Finally, some Croatian blood back at this club. I mean, I feel like trophies are harder to win when you don't have Croatians at Inter. Although all our Croatians were here during the Banter era, so just kidding. But no, I think he's a perfect profile for this team. I'm super excited to have a player like him potentially coming. I think that'd be a massive, massive get for us. And like you said, like, you know, the Tomas Perez, he's another defensive midfielder who I think could, you know, be able to slot in nicely with the U23s. We have a lot of guys who are on our Primavera squad who might make the, be able to make the jump up to the U23 team. So that would be nice if we're able to kind of see that development. Cause if you could have like Tomas Perez, Baron Brook and Topalovic midfield for your U23 team, I mean, that's really nice. And hopefully those guys can develop the way we would want to then hopefully, you know, be able to slot into the first team. And like you said, not have to worry about dipping into the market to then go find players to be able to fit in and take bench roles in the meantime.
Inter is the oldest team in Serie A, average age, right?
Yep.
So you have to invest in your youth. So it'll catch up to you. So you better invest in your youth. So like to see it.
All right. This is an interesting one. At @M6Adam_, what's one rule you would add to football? I'd add time stoppage. The amount of times the match was stopped was crazy. The ball probably in play for like 60 minutes. That's interesting. I think, Johnny, you've spoken about the penalty, the rebounds.
Yeah, that to me is archaic. You should never be able to put a rebound in. Matt, we're both hockey fans. Imagine if you get a penalty shot, right? And your favorite player, Konechny, I know how much you love him, goes down.
He shut me up this year, so go on.
Okay, I'm glad he has. But goes down, takes a shot, goalie saves, and he decides he's able to put in the rebound. Wouldn't you think that's ridiculous?
Yeah, like I agree. I feel like a PK, like the XG, which I hate advanced stats, but it's like 0.8 or something like that. You already have a huge chance. That's it. It should be like a dead play. Like, that's it. Like,
yeah, like a goalie makes a save and he's punished because he made the save and it went back in a play and the guy puts in a it doesn't even have to be the original shooter. It could be somebody else who runs it. Like, that is ridiculous. Absolutely. Yeah. Stopping a time though, that's, I feel like games are,
no,
are long
don't
enough.
Stop the time. Don't stop the time.
Yeah, I don't think we stop the time.
I think they should add like more time.
Like the EPL where you see like 11 minutes of stoppage time or something?
I'd give out way more yellows for time wasting. I'd be a dick there as a ref.
Empoli, Petzela took what felt like forever to throw the ball in like 2-3 times. Like, I feel like he should have got at least a yellow for that.
Yeah. The crowd was, when the crowd is like booing you multiple times every time you're taking a throw in, it's like, come on.
That's
get
a
on
sign
with it.
I'd point to my watch every time they like kick the ball away or take their time. I'd be like, I'm adding 30 seconds, bud. So keep wasting because I'm just going to keep adding. Like, I wouldn't put up with that. But
What would you change, Alessandro?
I'm not a big fan of the like arm forward counting as an offside. I think if your like shoulders are in line 100%. And your legs are in line, but it's like just your hand reaching out because you're in the motion of running, I think that's kind of cheap. If your shoulders and your legs are in line, it shouldn't be that your arm is stretched out, ruling out a goal.
The Turam goal, when they looked at the VAR, you could see Arnautovic's hand was almost offside. And it was just, imagine if I saw, I would have lost my mind.
He was behind the player too. His arm.
He's running and he puts his arm out in front. They're like, oh, that's a yellow. Offside. Like,
yeah. What is when it? You're stride you can't use for your stride. Hand. Yeah. When you're stride for stride with somebody and then like, oh, look in this frame, his toe is that much offside. Like they're stride for stride with each other. But then becomes the, how is the referee or the VAR referee that day going to interpret it? You know what I mean? Because, I mean, Serie A, like, even with VAR, they get a lot of calls wrong.
I remember there was a game with last year with Bologna and Juve, and it was 1-1. Bologna scores a goal. It's ruled offside because the clip of, I forget, it might have been Xerxes' heel was off. And I'm like, what advantage? He still has to turn. Yeah. And take the shot. That little heel being off, that millimeter, played nothing into him being able to turn and shoot that ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
is that the same game where Juve tackled somebody in the box and didn't even get looked at?
Illing Jr.
That was the first game. The second game was another was when that happened. But yeah.
They have VAR and they still get it wrong. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. All right. At Lee Theo 1, what would your lineup be for the Champions League game midweek? Rotate quite a few players, and what do you think Inzaghi is going to do? It's interesting. So Sparta Prague is third in the Czech league right now. They're not blowing it away this season at all. Would you check that out? Not that a trip away is ever an easy thing in the Champions League, but it's a good question. Because I do just want to wrap up 3 points and make that Monaco game before the derby insignificant. I think I would just start Lauti and Thuram. Sommer obviously in there. Acerbi's not going to be back, so De Vrij again. Bastoni. Maybe Bissek is not back, so I guess
Darmian. I would start Darmian in that game.
Yeah, you can handle that.
So Denzel and then Di Marco.
I'd do the same starting lineup except for Darmian.
I would go Fratesi. I would add Fratesi in the midfield for that one.
And then you would do Barella Regista or Aslani Regista? Or Zielinski
Regista? Barella Regista. Because then if you're able to take, like I said, if you're able to take a lead, then you could pull Barella off, throw Aslani on, and then, whatever happens. Yeah. Even if it finishes 3-2, 3, whatever, you know what I mean? Like, because I'm sure Aslani's going to throw the ball away or, turn it over in the middle of the park, right outside the 18, goal scored quick. We've seen it a bunch of times. We've seen it.
I would expect Mickey to get that start, too, since he got minutes today.
Yes.
Yeah. You got to have a strong lineup, get the win. That way the Monaco game is irrelevant. And you could heavily rotate and head up ahead of the derby.
Yeah, I think that's the move. All right. After this game, at Lord Pape, after this game, how do you guys feel about us getting Ismaili and Esposito? We already talked about Esposito. I don't understand the links to Ismaili. Like, he's 28 years old. The last game, he was horrible. He made multiple mistakes. This game, like, He's just like a rough and tumble kind of defender. There's nothing special to him, right, in my opinion, at all.
He's a lousy version of, oh my God, who's the guy?
Which league?
He was at Atalanta, the center. He went from Juve to Atalanta, the center back. The Turkish guy.
Oh, Demiral.
He is the version of Demiral. Unbelievable. Like, what?
Where is he now?
He's in the Saudi league. I mean, but this is... No. Who's worse, Ismaili or Becao?
Because
they're both awful.
Oh my God, that's a good question.
Like, I'm sorry.
I think Becao might be worse, honestly.
Becao might be worse, but my gosh, these guys are trash.
Yeah.
You should not be rumored to these guys.
The center back has got to be an investment. It can't be a 28-year-old free agent.
It's got to be
it's going
to
work.
That might have to be the biggest advancement this offseason. As much as I want, you know, more midfielders and stuff like that.
All right. We did receive two voicemails that I think we have to play. I know the audio will, you know, try to fix it. I heard it fine on the last pod. I don't know, some people for some reason
weren't able to. Okay. And I listened.
All right, let's see.
What's up, boys? This is Oyan. I'm calling in because I see I'm not getting an invitation to the pod. So if this is the way I got to communicate to you guys, I got to do what I got to do. I specifically want to talk to Johnny. Johnny, I'm going to need you to put some respect on my boy. You've been hurling criticisms for the past 3.5 years. And I need you to... I see you barking out criticisms and whispering praise. I don't need that, bro. I need you to give the praise the guy's due. You see what he's doing. Nevertheless, keep up the good work. Take care.
So, hold on. Before you respond, I didn't know that you can hurl racisms. I didn't know that was
Is that what he said? I think he said criticisms. I think he said criticisms.
At the end, he did, but at the start, he said racisms. You're hurling racisms.
I mean, Julian, when you hear this episode, you'll hear what I said. So, I don't know, man. Listen, Denzel Dumfries, man on a mission, proving me wrong. I am more than happy to be proven wrong by Denzel Dumfries. I would love it. I would love anybody to prove me wrong. Aslani, go ahead, son. Make me look like an idiot. I will own that. But yeah, no, Denzel's been awesome, man. Happy that your boy finally showed up and took him 3.5 years to figure it out, Julian. You know, most people, that's a full term of college, you know, and they figured out what they want to do with their major. So I'm glad that your guy was able to have his college experience at Inter and finally graduate into a real player.
And I like a Dumfries since the Arsenal game who gets forward and takes on his man. Like, it's not the prettiest thing, but when he's too conservative, just plays it back, and the guy defending him, whoever it may be, can just kind of not worry. Like, I like the Dumfries that
he could just coax back into position, just, not really have to, like,
get after them.
Look how he bullied Emerson Royale. Look at how he bullied Emerson Royale in the Supercopa. Like, that's the Denzel I want to see all the time.
Go after him, Denzel. Run, my friend.
All right, we got one more here. Can you guys hear me okay?
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh. I was like, what? Come on.
I'm not seeing the audio on my end reacting.
No,
you sound
crystal clear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hopefully it's picking up. All right.
Hey guys, Intertwined here. Great win today. Much needed win. Some really good individual performances. Like Botaro, Barella, De Vrij, Augusto. I was pretty satisfied. We're gonna have our ups and downs during the season, but I think this was a good response to the midweek tie that we had, which was a really tough game as well. Aslani wasn't spectacular, but he was okay today. I know he did make some mistakes, but you know what? The best way to clean up your game is to just continue to play. So maybe he'll get to a level where he's an adequate backup. for now. Other than that, yeah, no, I'm pretty satisfied. We're going to have our ups and downs, but this was positive. What was I hear?
Yeah. Good way to wrap it up. Some good individual performances today. Good team win. Interesting commentary about Aslani. I saw Johnny's face during that, but we won't relitigate that to end it. All right, guys, that's all I got here. Anything you guys have before we jump out?
That is 14 through on Wednesday.
100%. We do want to get maybe like a group chat going to discuss getting together for the Club World Cup. At least one game for. What are you shaking your head no for?
Fuck Seattle. Okay.
Bro, get on a plane and get your.
You come here for the World Cup. You come here for the World Cup. No, I already said this. You come here.
You didn't even play a game in Philly, so you can shut your mouth.
Wait, aren't they?
No.
Isn't Italy playing here if they qualify?
We're talking about the club.
I know you're talking about the Club World Cup. I'm saying forget going to Seattle. Wait till 2026. Watch the Azzurri here.
I care. English is what I care about most. So you could sit home on your fat ass and watch on TV. You probably have a big butt. I'm sure.
There's a hockey. I got a nice ass. Okay.
There you go. I'm going to Seattle regardless. And I think we got to get like a group together. It'd be so sick.
Johnny, should we tweet something and have everyone that wants to be a part of it just comment it on it?
And then we'll just comment. Yeah. And then something. We just make a little chat or something on there. Yeah. That's a good idea. I like it. Okay.
All right. 3 points against Empoli. Inter sits second in the Serie A standings. 3 points behind Napoli with a game in hand. Next up, Sparta Prague away from home in the Champions League on Wednesday. In the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, Forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.